Well, today, specifically, Stephen's like, what are you preaching on? I'm like, well, more Jesus' miracles. We're in kind of a group where he's done a bunch of miracles back to back to back to back to back to back, right? And today we're going to be looking at another group of miracles, okay? Specifically, we're going to be looking at two miracles that Jesus performed during his three-year ministry here on earth. These two miracles that we're going to be looking at this morning are recorded in Matthew 9, Mark 5, and Luke 8, okay? They happened just as Jesus was about to finish talking with some disciples of John the Baptist, okay? You see, John's followers, they were greatly troubled because their teacher had been put into prison by the evil ruler at the time, right? And if you remember last week, they were also concerned about why the Lord's disciples were not fasting like they did, right? And Jesus told them that some short parables to help them understand the difference between his ministry and John's ministry. And basically, it was the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament, which was the good news of God's salvation through the cross of Christ, right? So, Jesus is talking to John's disciples, and then he's interrupted, right? Who likes to get interrupted? I know I don't. I don't know how Jesus felt about it, but he sure seemed fine. But that's where we're going to be this morning. So if you haven't turned there already, I encourage you to turn to Matthew chapter 9. That's where we're going to be. Okay. So I'm sure everybody has today, except for maybe the kiddos, have heard of the band Journey, right? Raise your hand if you've not heard the band Journey, besides the children. Really? Well, they have a hit that came out in 1981, and I don't remember when it came out. Sorry, I was not alive yet. It's called Don't Stop Believin', okay? That's probably one of the hits that I can remember the most as my dad listened to Journey when I was growing up. But I'm sure if you do know the band, you know the song, you're probably doing it in your head. And sadly, all I can do is, don't stop believing. And the rest of the song is, da 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 do do. That's all I know, right? I know those are the lyrics, so if anybody wants to delight me with their rendition of that song later, feel free. But they had the song called Don't Stop Believing. And this morning, we're going to see a desperate dad and a desperately ill woman, and how both of them did the most important thing that they could ever do in life, okay? And that was that they went to Jesus Christ for help, for the help that they needed. See, they both had strong faith in the Lord, and they showed us the life-changing power of believing in Jesus. They didn't stop believing that Jesus could do what he was going to do, okay? Now, one of the most powerful words in the English language is believe, okay? So write that down. Powerful word, believe, if you're taking notes. You see, this word, it has power to change our lives forever, okay? But there can be a big problem with believing. Because you see, everybody believes in something. And most people believe in the wrong thing, church. Okay? Misguided people today will try to get you to believe in all kinds of lies, right? Some will try to lead you in an unhealthy belief in yourself, okay? They say things like, oh, you can do anything if you will just believe in yourself, right? That's what we're taught. That's what I grew up hearing, correct? But if we really think about it, of course, that's not entirely true. Guess what? I will never be an astronaut. Okay? Shocking. And I'll never pitch for the Texas Rangers. Okay? It's not going to happen. Although I could probably pitch for the Royals, right, Art? No. I debated on switching them because the Royals are actually doing decent this year and the Rangers are doing pretty terrible, so, but I couldn't turn my back on the Rangers, of course. You see, the worst danger of believing in the wrong thing is that it will lead you to hell. Okay? But believing in Jesus Christ, church, it leads to everlasting life. Amen? John 3:36 says this, "The one who believes in the Son has eternal life. The one who rejects the Son will not see life, but God's wrath remains on him." You see, we can't overestimate the importance of believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? And this morning, we're going to look at some ways that we can help ourselves to not stop believing in Jesus. Okay? And the first one is, don't stop believing that Jesus can do the impossible. Okay? You see, God's Word teaches this truth throughout the Bible, right? The impossible. The Old Testament alone is filled with story upon story of seemingly impossible situations, right? And Jesus is continuing this in the New Testament. You see, as Jesus was talking with John's followers, two other people approached the Lord that day for help that they desperately needed, okay? One of them was a ruler of the synagogue named Jairus, right? And Jairus, his name means enlightened by God. And that's the kind of man that Jairus was. He was enlightened by God. So, let's look at our first scripture. So, verse 18 in Matthew. Verse 18 says, "As he was saying these things, a leader came, bowed low before him, and said, 'My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will live.'" Right? So here we see, by this time, Jairus' daughter was already dead. But this is where having a couple different, variations of the story is helpful for us, because it gives us more context. And that's exactly what the Gospel of Mark and Luke do for us this morning. They begin their report a little earlier, and we're going to look at some of that. You see, both mention the multitude of people there that day. Mark 5, 22 through 24 says this. It says, "Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came up, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He asked him urgently, 'My little daughter is near death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be healed and live.' Jesus went with him, and a large crowd followed and pressed around him." Right? So we're getting a little bit more context. Okay? And here in verse 18, we're seeing a loving dad, right, in the worst situation that a parent can be in. The loss of a child, right? His beloved daughter was dead. You see, Luke 8:42 tells us that she was his only daughter, and she was only around about 12 years old, okay? Right? That's devastating. Jairus was a loving dad in a most desperate situation. But he didn't stop believing that Jesus could help him. So again, in verse 18, he said, "As he," Jesus, "was saying these things, a leader came, bowed low before him, and said, 'My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her and she will live. Right? My daughter has died, but come, lay your hand on her and she will live. Now that is believing Jesus can do the impossible, right? And God wants us to believe in the same way, church. In Luke 1, the angel Gabriel went to visit Mary, right, to tell her that she would be the Lord's mother. And in verse 34 to 37, it says this, Mary said to the angel, we all know the story, how will this be? Since I have not been intimate with a man, the angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God. And look, your relative Elizabeth has also become pregnant with a son in her old age. Although she was called barren, she is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God, church. Right? You see, God can do the impossible. He's the only one who can do the impossible. Story about a fourth grader who celebrated his birthday while on crutches. And so he couldn't carry in the cupcakes into school without help, okay? His mother asked her sixth grade son to help his brother carry them in. And he said, I could, but I'd prefer not to, right? No sixth grader wants to be seen having to help their little brother, right? So spotting a teaching moment, the father looked at their son, their sixth grade son, and said, now what would Jesus do, right? And the boy answered and said, well, Jesus would heal him so he could carry his own cupcakes, right? This sixth grade boy definitely believed that Jesus could do the impossible, right? And especially if it got him out of an awkward situation of helping his little brother, right? We have to believe that Jesus can do the impossible. Don't stop believing that Jesus can do the impossible, church. Point number two, don't stop believing when Jesus' help is delayed, okay? So we're kind of going to get a double dose of this kind of faith in today's scripture because two desperate people had to wait on the Lord. And we often find that we perceive we're waiting on the Lord, right? We've brought a prayer to Him. We're waiting for an answer. We are waiting on the Lord just as much as these people are. Verse 19 through 22 tells us that Jesus and His disciples, they got up and followed Him. But a woman who had been suffering from a hemorrhage for 12 years came up behind Him and touched the edge of His cloak, for she kept saying to herself, if only I touch His cloak, I will be healed. But when Jesus turned and saw her, He said, have courage, daughter. Your faith has made you well. And the woman was healed from that hour. So what we're seeing here in these verses is this: the desperate dad, right? He only had to wait a few minutes for Jesus to come with them. But knowing that his daughter was dead made those minutes, of course, I'm sure, feel like hours, right? And yes, Jairus had great faith in Jesus, but I can almost imagine him crying out, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's move on, let's keep going. Yes, great, you healed her, but now let's go. Don't stop, talk, let's go, right? But that's how we work, right? That's not how Jesus works. There was an interruption from the sick lady. And talk about waiting for her, right? The other desperate person who approached Jesus that day was the woman who had been constantly sick for 12 years, right? 12 years. William, that's older than you are. 12 years. And Jesus and Jairus headed to his house, the suffering woman came from behind and touched the hem of Jesus' outer garment. And guess what? She was healed from that hour. And Jesus began to talk to her. This woman had been waiting for 12 years, 12 torturous years, church, for this to happen. Mark 5, 25 through 26 says this. It shares a little bit more information. Now a woman was there who had been suffering from a hemorrhage for 12 years. She had endured a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all that she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. You see, she had endured a great deal under many doctors, under the care of many doctors, right? Which, saying it in today's society, oh, well, that sounds exactly what she should have done. But that's not talking about the doctors that we have today, the fine professionals that we are blessed with to have today, right? That's not what they had back then. You see, this poor woman, she went through some very strange and probably dangerous treatments, okay? Charles Spurgeon said this. He said, "The doctors in those days were much more to be dreaded than the worst diseases. What with leeching and cutting, cauterizing, blistering and incision, strapping and puncturing, patients were made to undergo all matter of unimaginable tortures." I think I said that right. "The physicians of her day had reached perfection in the arts of torment. I know not how many operations she had endured, nor how many gallons of nauseous drugs she had swallowed, but they had certainly caused her a vast amount of suffering and bitter disappointment." Right? Church, for 12 years, she cried. She pleaded with God. She prayed and she sought help from every source possible. She easily explored all the options that were out there. For 12 years, she wondered if she would ever get her answer, right? But guess what? She didn't stop believing, okay? She continued. And at the right time, God gave her the answer that she needed. And He can surely do the same for us, right? See, God wants us to not stop believing when His help is delayed. And both of these people here have shown us what someone said, that patience is waiting without worrying, right? It's hard to wait without worrying, right? Never give up on Jesus Christ, because He always does the right thing at the right time, right? This is a hard truth for us, because sometimes we surely have to wait on the Lord. So don't stop believing when His help is delayed. Point number three this morning is to don't stop believing when the crowd doubts, okay? See, Jesus and Jairus, they ran into a doubting crowd in verse 23 through 24. It says this: "When Jesus entered the leader's house and saw the flute players and the disorderly crowd, He said, 'Go away, for the girl is not dead, but asleep.' And they began making fun of Him." Right? Biblical scholar A.T. Robertson tells us that this was loud, long, mocking laughter at the Lord. Who in the world would laugh in a situation like that, right? You got the parents who are mourning, right? Brokenhearted that their daughter is dead. It's hard to think about it. Who would laugh? And maybe it's a translation thing, but back then, they actually had apparently paid mourners, right? Who would want to be a paid mourner? Just go and mourn for people and get paid for it. It could have been them, maybe not taking their job seriously. Who knows? It could be neighbors who didn't really care about that family. We don't know who was laughing so rudely, but we do know it says that they were laughing, and that's how it's translated. But Luke 8:52 says, "Stop your weeping. She is not dead, but asleep." Why did Jesus say that? Well, William McDonald reported that some believe the girl was in a coma. This is what some theologians believe. He says, "I don't believe that for a second, though." He says that Jesus said she wasn't dead because he is the Lord of life. Jesus knew that he could and would raise the girl from the dead. For him, waking her from the dead was just as easy as waking her from sleep. Right? But the mourners didn't know that. So the real reason why they may have been mockingly laughing at Jesus was because they didn't believe in the Lord. They didn't have faith in Jesus. They had no idea who was in the house with them that day. No idea of the Lord's power and the Lord's glory. And guess what? There's many people today just like that. They were laughing at Jesus then, and they laugh at Jesus today. They don't take him seriously. They use his name in vain without even batting an eyelash. Much of the world, guess what? They laugh at Christianity. They've totally rejected Jesus Christ. But we can't let that shake our faith, can we? We can't let that shake who we are in Jesus Christ. Because we know the truth, and the truth is that Jesus is Lord of life. Amen? John 1, 3 through 4 tells us that all things were created by him. And apart from him, not one thing was created that has been created. In him was life, and the life was the light of mankind. And listen to the beginning of the Lord's Prayer in John 17. It says, "Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, so that your Son may glorify you, just as you have given him authority over all humanity, so that he may give eternal life to everyone who have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent." Right? Jesus is Lord of life, whether you want to admit it or not. He is the Lord of all. And if the mockers truly realized who Jesus is, they would tremble and they would fall at his feet and worship him, right? See, the mockers may laugh at our Lord, but we can trust him no matter what. So don't stop believing in Jesus when the crowd doubts. Because the crowd's going to doubt. The narrow way is narrow for a reason. There's few that go on that path. Lastly this morning, don't stop believing because we will surely see more miracles, right? See, Jesus knew exactly what to do when the crowd doubted him. Let's listen to verse 24 through 25 of Matthew again. He said, "Go away, for the girl is not dead, but asleep." And they began making fun of him. But when the crowd had been forced outside, he went in and gently took her by the hand, and the girl got up. Right? Luke's version says this, "But Jesus gently took her by the hand and said, 'Child, get up.' Her spirit returned, and she got up immediately. Then he told them to give her something to eat." You see, this amazing miracle, it happened because Jairus didn't stop believing what Jesus could do. He never stopped believing that Jesus could do the impossible, right? He kept on believing when the Lord was delayed, right? He kept on believing when everyone around him doubted that Jesus could do what he sought for Jesus to do. Luke 8:50, Jesus had told the desperate that this. He said, "Do not be afraid. Just believe and she will be healed." Guess what? Jairus did believe. And guess what? He saw great things happen. Amen? And so will we, church. Our God has always been a miracle-working God, and he still does miracles today. I have one I want to share with you I found. There's a story about a pastor. His name was Herman Savio, and he shared this once. He said, when he was a little boy, there was some kind of big storage container. I'm picturing he's from some other country. A big storage container on their roof. And it was a big metal box with a hole in the top. And that is where they stored their rice. Okay? And one hot summer day, probably like any young boy, he got curious of what the inside of that box looked like. So he climbed up to the box, and he decided to go into the box. He dropped into the hole. And guess what? It only took him a few seconds to realize that there was no way out. He couldn't reach the top of the opening anymore. The hole was too high to reach, and he was trapped. Nobody knew where he was. Right? Back then, we didn't have phones. We carried around 24/7 to call people when we get trapped in a rice bucket. So, my kids don't have phones, and they probably won't. No, Wendell has a fake phone. He likes to put on our wireless charger and pretend like it's charging. Oh, you have two phones? I don't even have two phones. Anyways, nobody knew where he was. You see, young Herman, he was scared to death, so he tried to jump, he tried to get out, but he couldn't do it. And guess what? It was unbearably hot, maybe like it is going to be today. So guess what? If you see a big container and you want to see what's inside, maybe today's not the day to do it. It was unbearably hot. And he says it was probably around 140 degrees in there as the sun beat down on that metal box, right? You can picture an oven, almost. See, Herman began to grow weak and faint, and he most likely would have died in that container. But just as he was about to pass out, something or someone mysteriously, miraculously lifted him out of the box. He had no idea how it happened. He only knew that God had saved him, right? All of his life, he could look back and remember the hand of God at work that day. In every challenge or trial or tribulation, Herman had an extra reminder that he could always trust in the Lord, right? We may not have a story like that specifically, but I'm sure we can find a miracle that's happened to someone we know or to us maybe specifically, and we can hold on to that truth. Miracles still happen. As I close this morning, when we believe in Jesus, guess what? The most wonderful thing will happen. See, sometimes people will be miraculously healed, but guess what? But best of all, people will be saved, right? You see, healing may last for a decade, church, but salvation, it lasts forever. Verse 22 shows us much more than a woman's physical healing. We're looking at the woman again. It shows us her salvation, church. See, there Jesus spoke to the healed woman, said, "Have courage, daughter. Your faith has made you well." Well, you see, the original word for well is a word called sozo. And I'm trying. I think that's how I would pronounce it. Sozo. And it's the same original word the Bible uses for people being saved. Okay? It's the same word we find in Matthew 1:21, where an angel reassured Joseph with the words about his pregnant wife Mary. He said, "She will give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Right? Sozo is the same word in Luke 19:10, where Jesus said, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Sozo was the word the Philippian jailer used in Acts 16:30 when he asked life's most important question. "Cyrus, what must I do to be saved?" And sozo was the same word that Paul and Silas used in Acts, the next verse, when they gave the jailer this reply: "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." You see, the bleeding woman, she was not only healed, church, she was saved because she believed in Jesus. Verse 22, Jesus called her also, in verse 22, Jesus also called her daughter. Why did Jesus call her daughter? Someone explained it like this. He said, Jesus called her daughter because she had been spiritually born again and adopted into the family of God. The Lord spoke to her on behalf of our Heavenly Father. There, Jesus gave her the assurance that she was accepted by God. Right? When a person really comes to God, when they believe in Jesus, God gives them the comfort of being both born again and adopted into God's family. Right? That's why John 1:12-13 tells us, "But to all who have received him, those who believe in his name, he has given the right to become God's children. Children not born by human parents or by human desire or a husband's decision, but by God." Right? And Romans 8:15 tells believers this: "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery leading again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry, Abba, Father." Right? He adopts us into his family. That's why he called her daughter. You see, Jesus Christ, he died on the cross for our sins. He did that. Then 3 days later, Jesus rose again from the dead in everlasting victory over sin and death. Now God wants everyone to know that he will forgive our sins and wash them all away, church. He will also give us eternal life, an everlasting home in heaven, and a part in the family of God if we only believe in his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what we can look forward to. But it's so much more than just merely believing it in our mind, right? There are people who don't have a relationship with God who believe in God. That's not enough. We have to make it a matter of the heart. Believing in Jesus means believing with your heart and believing with your life, how you live your life, right? If your heart is truly, truly changed, your life is going to change. It means trusting in the Lord, receiving him as your Lord and Savior. It means having a real relationship with Jesus. It means seeking to follow his ways and allowing him to lead your life. So, my challenge for you guys is to don't stop believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and to trust him every day. In our points, I don't have them up there, but don't stop believing that Jesus can do the impossible. Don't stop believing when his help is delayed. Don't stop believing when there are doubters around you. And don't stop believing, and you will surely see more miracles happen around you, church. We're going to close with a hymn. We talked about being washed from our sins by the blood, and that's what we're going to sing. Exactly.